Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report live here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget, numerous ways to catch this program all about IU, all about Southern Indiana sports each weekday here on the Big X. Of course, the obvious 1450 AM, that's the traditional signal of the old Big X Sports Radio, also 96.1 FM, a great way to listen as well. BigXSportsRadio.com. You can find us on the TuneIn app, a couple other apps as well. Stream us at that location. And then podcast if you miss the show on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. No excuse if you miss a segment, you miss a show, you want to go back and listen. There's plenty of ways to do so. We'll tell you a little bit more about podcasting later in the show. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Wednesday show in segment two, it's Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll still recap, talk Romeo Langford, Hoosier Hysteria, some basketball notes coming out of the weekend with that big event in the books. Now the team has been hard at practice, I'm sure, the last couple of days. Coach Miller stating that they would officially get after it as far as official practices go starting on October 1st, which is Monday. We know now that IU will play a secret scrimmage later this month against Loyola Chicago, who had lots of NCAA tournament success and magic a year ago. Also, of course, that will lead into their game, exhibition game at Assembly Hall against Southern Indiana. So the season is quickly approaching now that October is here, and we'll get the latest on IU basketball with Jeff Rabjohns. Also, we'll talk a little bit about him with him about the upcoming IU at Ohio State football game this weekend. Obviously, Indiana, to say the very least, not the favorite in that game. A big, big underdog in that contest. Still some real positives as far as IU football goes, as far as getting a bowl eligible. That looks like, unless the wheels absolutely fall off, which you worry about that happening when you go play a powerhouse like Ohio State and maybe get your brains beat in, but barring that the wheels don't fall off, there look to be some definite winnable games where Indiana could easily, I think in some scenarios, become bowl eligible. So we'll talk to Jeff Rabjohns about that. Also later in the program, News and Tribune sports editor Greg Mengelt will be with us. We'll talk week eight of high school football. We'll give you the rundown on some of the top games in the area. Also, the football sectional pairings, they will be drawn out from Indianapolis on Sunday night. We'll talk about that and some other local sports headlines here in Southern Indiana as well. That's the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A big announcement yesterday from IU Athletics, and really from the university as a whole. Indiana University unveiled the first ever IU Athletics brand and uniform guidelines. And you think, what in the world is that? Basically, it's a statute. It's written rules, very detailed things for not just men's basketball or not just football, but for every sport in the athletic department to follow. It includes exactly what logos may be used. It includes exactly what styles, even as far as candy stripes or the cursive Indiana you might see on some of the uniforms or some of the warm-ups. And then, of course, the traditional Indiana print that is on the men's basketball uniform, for example. Very detailed. And, of course, when you're working with the same company, which Indiana across the board is with Adidas, it's easy to keep things alike and similar. And it talks about colors and different all sorts of different things. And, again, you think, well, what does that have to do with us? That sounds boring, and maybe it is, but you can rest assured at Indiana with Fred Glass, there seems to be a real push toward marketing, toward professional look, toward facilities not just being new and fresh, but also having a very modern design and look to them that matches up with the rest of the athletics department and different facilities, kind of tying everything together. And that's exciting to hear if you're an IU fan, because so much of the look of things, the style of things, ties into some of the new facilities that we've been talking about, like the Oladipo Zeller Players Lounge with all the video games, and the kids can play, the players, I should say, can play Fortnite, all the first-class video screens, and everything that's in there all has a style. It all matches, and that's so important nowadays when it comes to recruiting, when you're going against the big dogs, the Kentuckys of the world for players, the best in the country. When they come visit Indiana, and they see the fans and they see the support for the program, then they see off the court from the training room to the locker room to everything else they're involved in are going to be done first class. It's a huge sell for the university. So maybe boring. I looked at the full document last night because I like those kind of things. Very interesting, very, very detailed, very, very well thought out. Obviously, they hired a professional company to put something that overwhelming together that's going to manage and engage and kind of direct the entire athletic department, and again tying into the university somewhat as far as how everything will look and be put together, and so many different things from uniforms to warm-ups, and again even permanent structures like facility design and things like that. But very interesting, and it's been interesting to me to watch Fred Glass kind of come into his own as IU's athletic director. He's to the point in his career where he's able to put his stamp on some things. He's obviously made some major hires within the department. Now he's getting down to some of the nitty-gritty details. And there also was a lot of flack about, I won't say flack, but there was some concern, some complaints about, oh, you took the last names off of the uniforms for football, which matches men's basketball, women's basketball, a lot of other sports at Indiana. In this document I'm talking about, this style document, this brand guideline document, it really outlines why Indiana's approach now across the board in any sport is, you know, no names on the back of uniforms. It's not just a reason or a statement. It's a full-fledged breakdown of what it means to be an athlete at IU. So if you're into that kind of stuff or you think it sounds interesting, you can check it out at IU Athletics or IUHoosiers.com. But obviously some real thought into the details going on at this point with IU Athletics Department. Also, headline number two today with IU football gearing up for a big game on the road Saturday. Suspended running back Morgan Ellison is back at practice. He's still not eligible to play with the team, but according to multiple reports, he's now practicing with the team. Coach Allen has confirmed that. Not clear on when he'll be able or if he will be able to return to gameplay for the remaining games on the schedule, but he had not been practicing with the team when it was first that he announced that he was suspended indefinitely. Now he is practicing. So that's an interesting note, an interesting development. I don't know if he'll be back this weekend. I don't know if he'll be back at all, but if he does come back, he obviously would be a boost on the field for Indiana as they try to become bowl eligible, try to knock off maybe a couple people down the stretch. I looked at that Iowa game. This is something we'll talk with Jeff about, but that Iowa game is a big one. You don't want to overlook Ohio State or throw in the white towel by any means, but it's homecoming. It's in Bloomington. Iowa could be maybe the favorite coming into that game, but that appears to be a very winnable game for Indiana. You add someone like Morgan Ellison to the mix, I like their chances even a little bit more than maybe what I do at this point. So that will be interesting to see, but obviously a big note for IU football is that he's in practice. We'll see if that leads to him being eligible to play in games at some point later this season. Also, Anthony Harris in basketball, a 2019 five-star guard from Virginia. I mentioned yesterday he had taken a couple official visits, actually three official visits, and was set to make his decision yesterday afternoon. I mentioned that because Indiana offered him a scholarship back earlier during the recruiting period, and there was some talk for a while that Indiana might receive a visit from Anthony Harris. He committed to Virginia Tech yesterday. I've just, from everything I read, had a feeling that Duke had a good chance to get him, so I was a little surprised to see Virginia Tech pick up the five-star guard, but nonetheless, that's his college decision. He's off the board for IU and in the 2019 19 class in general as well. Also, just a quick note, big men's soccer game tonight. Number 2, IU, takes on number 4, ranked Kentucky. This will be a big one, no question about it, as far as the men's soccer season goes. They're having a great year, and, of course, the big rivalry game against Kentucky will take place tonight. Week 8 of high school football is our final headline of the day. Some interesting matchups. Of course, our coverage will begin Friday at 6 o'clock here on the Big X with Kentuckiana Football Fridays. We'll have our kickoff show from 6 to 7. We'll have roving coverage of a couple games on starting in the 7 o'clock hour. And then, of course, when it's all said and done for the night, we will have a scoreboard show. We got a lot of coaches that call in. We've got media people that call in. We'll give you all the scores and some of the highlights from both sides of the river as we recap Week 8 on Friday night. Seymour is at New Albany, so a big Hoosier Hills Conference game. Seymour now ranked in 5A football. Of course, Seymour, Columbus East, Bedford North Lawrence, Floyd Central, New Albany, they all can meet in some form or fashion in a couple weeks again in the 5A sectional that will be played. And again, that drawing is this weekend. Jeffersonville, they've got a very tough matchup. It's a Hoosier Hills Conference game, and they are on the road at Columbus East this week. Also, Providence, an interesting matchup. They will host Milan, who's a quality football team that has had some success. It's a great way for Providence to, over the next couple weeks, to finish out the regular season with some good competition. Silver Creek may have the game of the night, though, as far as importance to the regular season. Silver Creek hosting Brownstown with a Mid-Southern Conference championship game on the line. So the Dragons will play for a conference title, looking to win their first conference title in football since returning the program not too many years ago. Floyd Central is at Jennings County. Should be an easy victory for the Highlanders this weekend. And Rock Creek is at West Washington. Clarksville, they also host Cordon. That's the Week 8 schedule in high school football for this upcoming Friday. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesdays, which means a great, really unbelievable special at Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. You can buy 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings, and if you buy 3, you'll get 3. If you buy 6, you'll get 6 free. Today, Wednesdays only at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Make sure you make plans to get there later today for lunch or maybe for dinner. Buy 3 or 6, get 3 or 6 free. It's a great, great deal at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Coming up next is Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll still talk more Hoosier hysteria. We'll get his thoughts on the team, the takeaways from the quick scrimmage we saw. And Jeff's been on the road. He was up at LaPorte La Lemire to visit with Keon Brooks and Isaiah Stewart. He also was at Center Grove yesterday and was able to talk to Trace Jackson Davis, of course, for Brooks and Davis. Big opportunities for Jeff to recap their official visits that were taken to them, by them, I should say, to Indiana over the weekend. So we'll get into some recruiting stuff as well. Good conversation with Jeff coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday show. We can't connect with Jeff Rabjohns right now, so we're going with Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com. And Ken is always a great fill-in, great insight on IU basketball and football. Ken, you were in attendance Saturday at Hoosier Hysteria, and obviously you stay up to date with football as well. We'll talk both topics in this segment. First off, this has kind of been a general question this week, each day on the program to our IU-related guests, but your thoughts on the Hoosier Hysteria event as a whole, your takeaways from what we saw Saturday afternoon debuting the Hoosiers for the 18-19 season?
Well, you know, I am somebody who is not big on the Hoosier Hysteria event. I think it's great for the fans. I think it's great for everybody to come out and celebrate the start of the season. But in terms of what we learn, to me, there's just not that much because, you know, it's such a short scrimmage and it's not anywhere near competition level and all of that. So I'm somebody who I enjoy the show of it, but I've never taken a whole bunch out of it. from just the play of what happens there. So, as you just look for some little skills, quickness of a guy like Justin Smith, which we knew was there, just the energy of Jake Forrester, the ability of Romeo to draw so much attention and still excel. Evan Fitzner knocking down three-pointers. I don't think that there was anything that we learned that we didn't already know about this team, but it is fun just to see them all out together at once and try to imagine how all these pieces are going to fit.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, is with us. We're starting with IU basketball here on this Wednesday show. I agree with you. The scrimmage so short, and you could tell it was a team that, while they've done a lot of individual work and obviously have played together on and off over the summer in open gym settings, it's a team that at that point on Saturday really hadn't begun its official practices, running any sort of plays, and more so just up and down, which is to be expected and fine for that type of event. I did think the event, and we talked some about this yesterday, I did think the event from an organizational perspective, from how concise each segment of the event was, from how it flowed to even the total time of the event, was much more reasonable than what it has been in past years. And on top of that, I'm not so sure that I'm not in favor for something like that type of an event, an afternoon start that gets you in and out at a reasonable time in the evening.
Yeah, because, the whole thing is for the fans. It's not for the players. There's nobody who is going there to work on their game. This is the opportunity to showcase the team, get the fans revved up. It's something so that recruits can see what exactly it is that Indiana basketball is kind of about. Let them feel the love of fans cheering for them and trying to decide if they want to come to school here. It's a recruiting tool as much as anything else, and that's why it's great for the fans. It's great to be used as a recruiting tool, but there is diminishing returns the longer it goes. I've always said the most exciting part of Hoosier Hysteria is the introduction of the players, which everybody is knows the people on the team, but an opportunity to come out and see everybody at once and come out and do their little dances and just, bask in the joy of just the fans. That's the big thing. And the other thing is that it's, everything else, it's just a matter of get in, get out, have them do that. The dunk contest is something that people are, it's more exciting kind of in concept than it is in practice, and because you do have a lot of missed dunks and things like that just really does take a lot of energy out of the place. But there's no question there's a huge buzz and a lot of excitement, and it gives the fans an opportunity to just get excited about the season.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, is with us. Ken is also host of the Pigs podcast that can be found at the Pigs.com website. Ken, speaking of recruiting, Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks there, a lot of other recruits in attendance for Hoosier Hysteria as well. Jeff Rabjohns has had an opportunity to catch up with both on the Pigs website. Actually, I think video interviews, at least with Trace Jackson Davis. You can subscribe to the site. You can visit the site to watch those in their entirety. But kind of to sum those up and be general about it, I thought, especially in the Trace Jackson Davis video, some comments that make you wonder if he's not close to making a decision, and that if Indiana, he admitted they've recruited me the hardest, that's their pitch, and I agree with that. You have to wonder if a decision may not come soon for him.
Well, it always makes a huge impact when you are in attendance at Hoosier Hysteria and you see the way that the fans react to the walk-ons when they come on the court, let alone somebody who is thinking about coming here, and then you have fans chanting your name and recognize you just as you're walking along the sideline. There's not a spotlight on you, and that really shows you just kind of the level of attention that basketball gets at Indiana. And you have some of that at other schools, but it is unquestionably at a much higher level at IU than you do elsewhere, and so it makes an impact. And there he's going to have an opportunity, especially Jackson Davis is going to have an opportunity to see what's going on at Michigan State this weekend. He has an official visit going there. So, it is kind of the thing. A lot of guys, it's a personal decision, but a lot of guys like to get that done before they get into their senior season and get that, just attention out of the way. And so, it very easily could be something to where he's coming to a decision. Bottom line is, for everybody, it's just how much effort do you want to put into it? How tired of you? Are you hearing people ask you, where are you going to school? What are you thinking of? Who's your leaders? So at some point, there just gets to be to where, okay, you know what? I've seen what I've seen. I've been able to talk to people now. It's time to make a decision. And, you know, some guys like to go longer with it. A guy like Romeo Langford last year decided to take a little bit longer to make his decision. Who knows? You know, it's. I just know that these events do kind of push it to the forefront. A lot of guys like to get that over with before the season starts.
Talking with Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com, Ken in place of Jeff Rabjohns today on our Wednesday program. Ken, will you be surprised if, when it's all said and done, as far as recruiting goes for IU in this 2019 class, will you be surprised if Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks both end up coming to IU, or do you feel that there's a great chance that might happen?
There's really nothing that surprises me in recruiting anymore. I've seen so many things over the years that nothing surprises me. It's certainly possible, and it's certainly the kind of thing where people are going to look at what the roster is going to look like going forward and decide, you know, what it is that they think that they fit on. And also, you know, it's just meeting the other players on the team. Everybody pays attention to, you know, facilities and the love of fans and the town and the school. And all of that is very important. But ultimately, you're also going to be dealing with, you know, 14, 15 other guys that you're going to be with day in and day out. And how do you click with those guys? And I think that that's part of the equation as well. And if they click with them, I wouldn't be surprised at all if both of them come. I wouldn't be surprised at all if neither of them comes. So it just really is a situation where, you know, it's such a personal decision that I know people get upset at recruits if they don't come to a certain school or, you know, they feel like their program has been snubbed. And to me, it's just a personal decision of where do you feel most comfortable. You're 18 years old, and all the gingerbread and glitz of everything that goes along with it makes an impact. But at the end of the day, you need to feel like where you're going to be most comfortable on a personal level. So I think that's going to be you know, the biggest key in all of this.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, host of the Pigs podcast, our guest. I mentioned this in our headline segment to start the show today as one of our Hoosier headlines. Indiana University Athletics yesterday unveiled a first-ever athletics brand and uniform guidelines. I'm not sure I did it justice as far as explaining everything that is included in the absolutely large document and what all it means for the future of facilities, uniforms, marketing, design, all that sort of thing. But it sure told me that Fred Glass has an eye on the details and wants to make sure that Indiana comes across from a sports perspective in everything it does in a very modern and yet professional way. Your take on the style and uniform overall brand guidelines that were announced yesterday?
Well, you know, it's something that the university-wide just had talked to all of their people about, I think in 2016, just having a consistent brand to put out there. And I think that that's kind of what the athletic department has done, because you do have different uniforms for different school, different programs. There's been some different, you know, colors along the way, you know, different shades. And it's just kind of, this is way what we want to do. These are the fonts that we use on everything. And it's just a guideline for everybody. And the biggest takeaway that I got from it was that fans who are upset that the football team doesn't have names on the back of their jerseys anymore better get used to it. Because it was spelled out right there that that Fred Glass and his administration feels that it is a tradition to not have your names on the back of the jerseys, and now as part of the brand guidelines, it says that that's what they're going to do. So until those guidelines would be changed somehow, there's no question that is going to be the way it is going forward. That there won't be names on the back of the jerseys. Everything else is just kind of more for a communication standpoint and an internal thing, but it's very clear that the names on the back of the jerseys are not going to be coming back anytime soon.
I get the sense that Fred Glass is to the point in his tenure at IU Athletics, after hiring some major coaches and overseeing some major facility improvements and new facilities as well, that he's kind of focusing in on some of the long-term details, such as this uniform guidelines and the brand details, the marketing side of things.
Yeah, you can do that, especially when you're two marquee sports four marquee sports. Let's do that with baseball, both men's and women's basketball, soccer and football, all of those, the five top sports, all have stable coaching situations right now. You know, you had Tom Allen's in his second year. He's 18 games into his tenure. He's 500 right now, and the program seems to be trending in the right direction. So that's fine. Archie Miller's in his second year and in good shape. Terry Moran's team just won the women's NIT and is looking up. Soccer obviously is doing very well, and baseball just had a coaching change. So you're not going to have any turnover quickly after that would be unexpected. So now's a great time to look at those kind of things because you're not out there evaluating, you know, your marquee programs at quite the same level because you realize that either there's development going on or there's stable and it's in a direction that you want it to go. So this is where it gives you an opportunity to kind of look at some other things that are more in the background or would have been more in the background, you know, just a couple years ago.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, my guest. Let's get into a little football before we let you go. Tough one this weekend for Indiana. I wish there was a way to spin it that I could get Ken Bykoff to tell me he thought the game would be competitive or that Indiana maybe had a chance to go on to win the thing, but I just don't see a path with Indiana, at least with what I've seen in the last couple games, to play with a powerhouse at this point like Ohio State. That said, I do think there could still be some great moments for this football team, like becoming bowl eligible, and maybe even that homecoming game the next weekend, they could pick that one off against Iowa. But your thoughts on where the team's at and this game this weekend, and do you differ from my opinion that it's going to be tough to maybe even keep it competitive this weekend?
Well, I think that's for just about any program that goes that takes on Ohio State, or and especially in Columbus. It's going to be a challenge. Now, Indiana has done a pretty good job of at least being competitive against Ohio State in recent years. They haven't been great, but, you know, there's at least a little bit competitive. And still, you're going to need to have a lot of turnovers for Ohio State. You have to play almost a perfect game to beat them. And, you know, even to be competitive, you're going to need some fun things to happen in your favor in order to pull off that upset. Now, the second half against Rutgers last week, I was really bothered by that because the second time this year that Indiana has been held scoreless in the second half, they won both of those games. One of them was in a monsoon. The other was against a terrible Rutgers team that there's no other way to put that. That is not a good football team, and Indiana wasn't able to control the line of scrimmage, wasn't able to run the ball, and that's a real concern going forward. Yeah, you have Ohio State, and that's going to be a challenge at any point, but they're really going to have to try to find something as they get to the back half of the season because, in my mind, if they play the way they did against Virginia or Ball State, or some of these teams that they've taken on, Iowa is solid, you know, but that is certainly an opportunity for them. Penn State might be difficult, but Minnesota, Maryland, Purdue, even at Michigan. Michigan has looked vulnerable, and Indiana's played Michigan pretty well lately. They're going to have opportunities against those teams thanks to their defense, but they really need to get that offense to do a better job, especially the offensive line, of controlling the line of scrimmage and not playing down to the level of lesser opponents. To me, that's the next step for this program, is to play consistently week in, week out, and from half to half, then you need to find that consistency. So that will be the challenge this week at Ohio State. The upside is nobody is expecting anything out of Indiana, and so some weird things could happen in that situation in Columbus this weekend. But going forward, you have opportunities still to get to certainly to 6, 7, you know, possibly 8 wins if you pull off an upset or so. The key is you can't let whatever happens in Columbus, if you aren't competitive, you can't allow that to snowball. You have to put that behind you, and if you build on it, you have to be able to take that next step. And I give the defense and linebacker Raekwon Jones a lot of credit for, after the win against Rutgers last week, addressing the team, saying what we did out there was not good enough. And when the players start to step up like that, I really think that could lead to some really nice things.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com. I agree with that totally. Final question for you as far as football goes. Morgan Ellison practicing with the team. Coach Allen mentioned this earlier this week. No word on if or when he will rejoin the team as far as games go. Your thoughts on that?
Well, he's been around the team or been around the facility, been able to work out and all that whole time that he's been suspended, from what I understand. And so, you know, to me, if they would get him back, if he would have that opportunity to come back and play, that could be a positive. But I just keep coming back to the fact that, you know, in my eyes, Morgan Allison, a huge chunk of his yards last year came in two games. One against that Rutgers team that wasn't very good, and then against, I think, Georgia Southern in the other one. And so, to me, he's very much so unproven still to this point. Now, it's better to have more depth at that position than guys that you could turn to, but is it a huge boost if they get him back? I don't know, because I haven't seen enough of Morgan Allison to play consistently when healthy to make that determination. But anytime you're able to add talent, if he's able to come back, it's not going to hurt.
All right, Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, thanks for joining us today in place of Jeff Rabjohns. Always good to catch up, and keep up the great work with the Pigs podcast, Ken.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk some Southern Indiana sports headlines, week 8 of high school football. We'll also talk sectional pairing drawings and football coming this Sunday night. Greg was at Hoosier Hysteria as well. We'll get his thoughts on Romeo Langford's introduction and the great heroes type response he got from the fans in Bloomington on Saturday, and more coming up after this on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for this final segment, Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me. We'll talk local sports headlines in this segment as we do every Wednesday. Greg, first off, there was a time at the end of the summer before school began or re-began for the season, for the year, that things were a little slow. Now you've got football winding down, tennis in its postseason. I believe they made it to the regional round. Soccer is in the sectional round, and that's just touching on a few topics and a few things going on right now. Needless to say, it's a very busy time. Fall sports beginning that final march to the end of the fall season.
Yeah, we're less than a week away from the volleyball sectional as well. Less than a week away from the football sectional draw. So, yeah, this is one of the two busiest time periods of the season for, or of the year, calendar year for us. So plenty to talk about, Matt.
Yes, absolutely. Week 8 of high school football is where I would like to begin. Some interesting matchups, New Albany-Seymour. That probably is one of the more interesting matchups, at least to me, because it's a good perhaps preview of a sectional matchup. Seymour has been playing good football. They are now ranked in the top 10. Three schools in 5A in the top 10 from the Hoosier Hills Conference. All three of those schools will join New Albany, who was just outside of the top 10 in that sectional, along with Floyd Central, who's been competitive at times as well. So that sectional, that those matchups in the conference the rest of the way, we've still got New Albany, Floyd Central in future weeks. A very interesting way to track things here as we get into sectional play. I don't think there'll be more a chance for as many competitive games as what we could see in that 5A sectional in any other sectional, at least in our local area.
Yeah, Seymour's been one of the stories of Southern Indiana. You know, they start off with a 7-0 win over South Dearborn, which traditionally has been horrible. And you think, Seymour's not any good. And then they play Jeffersonville in week 2. Jeffersonville has a field goal to beat them that bounced off the crossbar. And you think, Seymour's not very good. And since then, Seymour's been really good. You know, Nathan O'Mara is the third or fourth leading rusher in Indiana. Obviously they have a great ground game. Something that New Albany at times has struggled to stop. In that way it should be interesting. I think talent-wise, I don't think there's any doubt. New Albany is as good as anyone in that sectional. And they've got a couple winnable games here. Not easy, by any stretch, but winnable games. And I expect them to kind of roll into the sectional with some momentum. So that when you looked at that after week two, New Albany coming off, two really nice wins over Providence and Castle, Seymour barely beating South Dearborn and Jeffersonville, and you think, well, that's going to be an easy one for New Albany, but now it looks like it might be anything but an easy one for New Albany.
Talking with Greg Mingelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, if we're going to talk football for this Friday, how about Silver Creek hosting Brownstown? Coach Dablo's team's been able to put some big wins together in recent weeks, and they'll play for an MSC conference championship on Friday night.
Yeah, after an 0-2 start, or I'm sorry, 1-3 start, it didn't seem like Silver Creek, I'm sorry, two losses in their first 3 weeks. Didn't look like Silver Creek. It looked like maybe it was going to be a rebuilding season there. Since then, of course, they haven't lost, and they've set themselves up to, as we talked about last Friday, win their first championship of any kind in program history. Silver Creek's done a lot of good things over the 7 years since they restarted their football program. But one thing they haven't done is win a championship, and winning against Brownstown is obviously a very big task, but they put themselves in position to at least tie for the conference championship, making that a huge game.
Greg Mingelt, our guest. Greg, other games in Week 8, I know Providence takes on a solid Milan team. That should be a good test. And actually, Providence has a couple good tests coming up to close the season before they head into sectional play. Any other games, that game or others, that stand out to you?
Well, I'll say this. Clarksville has a chance to end their long, long losing streak. That's, if you just look at Charlestown and compare the way they played against each other, Clarksville might be the better of the two teams. You compare to some others, and it looks like maybe not, but it's impressive what Justin Bozer's done over there. You could see after, I've seen them twice this year, it took about 2 minutes to see how much better they are this year than they have been over the last couple of years. And they have a nice passing game, a sophomore, Davion Fuqua, who is leading the area in receiving. And this is their shot. They also have a chance to draw Crawford County or Switzerland County in the postseason to end the losing streak. But I think they have a legitimate shot on Friday, and man, do we want that losing streak to end.
Yeah, that would be a fun way to close out the regular season if they could steal a win here in the next couple of weeks. I look forward to hopefully talking to the Clarksville coach on our scoreboard after the games one Friday evening after a Clarksville win. That would be, I think, a lot of fun, not just for him, but for all of us to see Clarksville take an important step forward. I think it's just a matter of time at this point, but for them to take an important step forward. Greg, I think you were at Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday. You can correct me if you weren't, but how about the ovation, whether you were live and in person or whether you were watching on the Big Ten Network streaming? I don't think it surprises people like you and I and others from the area that watched this thing kind of unfold during his high school career and his recruitment. But now that he's in Bloomington, I'm sure there are some people that are really excited to have him as a Hoosier, but are probably blown away by the type of response that he's getting. You and I aren't.
Yeah, it was actually Josh who was there covering that for us. But, there's no doubt that for a program that's in the second year of a new coach to bring in a recruit like that, Indiana's hungry for they won a Big Ten championship a couple of years ago, but, hungry for that, Final Four type team. And when you bring in a player like Romeo Langford, you never know. And, obviously we've talked about this before, but I've been a Purdue fan my whole life, but I'm really excited to see Romeo stay in state and help a state program and see where he can take them in a year or two. So I get their excitement. I would be excited too were I an IU fan.
Greg Mingelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Don't forget a lot of the things we talk about on Wednesdays, whether it's high school football or Romeo or anything else, you can read more about on the News and Tribune website, newsandtribune.com/sports, and of course all of their coverage and stories and tweets at News Trib Scores, again at News Trib Scores on Twitter. Greg, let's talk about some of these other sports that don't always get the credit they deserve. One I try to carve out a little time for is volleyball. Providence continues to be the chief storyline in volleyball in our area, but as we gear up now that the sectional pairings are out for that tournament, I think we have a number of teams that have opportunities to make runs deep into the state tournament in their respective class, and some other teams in other sports doing well also.
Yeah, as we've talked about, volleyball is one of the best sports that we play down here in southern Indiana, and this has been a bit of a down year. You know, when you have teams like Floyd Central and New Albany hovering around 500, it's not going to be quite as good a year as it usually is. But on the other hand, we've had teams like Jeffersonville kind of come out of nowhere and have really good seasons. So it's been an interesting season. I don't think we're going to have quite as much postseason success as we've had in the past, with the exception, obviously, of Providence. Christian Academy, of course, you know, that's, we were talking about this last night at the office, how impressive it is that they are ranked second in the state after losing Allie Stumler. What a job Wes Briscoe has done at Christian Academy. And, of course, Christian Academy and Rock Creek at Providence should probably sail through sectional championships this year. I think they're going to have a little bit of tougher regionals this year, even Providence. I think Castle has had a resurgence as well. You know, the probably the most interesting storyline going into the sectional is Class 3A, where Brownstown and Silver Creek look like two of the best five teams in all of Class 3A. So Brownstown beat them in five earlier this year. You know, Brownstown has built a really strong resume of late, including taking Providence to five sets, which is really impressive for a 3A team. And so I don't think we're going to see three teams at state or anything like that like we have in the past. But obviously this is an incredible volleyball area, and we always look forward to that 2 or 3 week period of the volleyball postseason.
Greg Mengelt of the News and Tribune, our guest. I think we have some fun weeks ahead with football winding down. Again, I still, you know, forget with the sectional pairings being drawn out this weekend, New Albany and Floyd Central, that's still a regular season matchup we have forthcoming. There are some other good games to close out the regular season. Sectional football, volleyball sectionals getting underway. Going to be a lot of fun times. I know you guys will be extremely busy, but a lot of good coverage forthcoming. And a lot of good moments, I'm sure, for Southern Indiana sports forthcoming before we close out the fall. And you know what happens when the fall comes to a close, Greg? It's high school basketball time here in our area.
Yeah, we're already starting to turn our attention there. Let's not forget tonight the tennis regional championship, which is basically the champion of our area and probably a team that will go to the state finals. So, big deal. We've got four-time defending regional champion Jeffersonville, which has been at state four of the last 6 years. And then we've got the Hoosier Hills Conference champion Floyd, which beat Jeff 5-0 earlier this year. But another interesting storyline, the last 2 years Floyd has beaten Jeff at the Hoosier Hills Conference, only to have Jeff to come back to win the regional. So it would be a huge upset, I think, this year. But Could that happen 3 years in a row and Jeff Steele? That would be quite a story to lose to them in the regular season 3 years in a row and then beat him in the regional championship 3 years in a row. But when you look at the lineups, it's going to be very difficult to beat Floyd. It's going to be very difficult for anyone to beat Floyd. They're ranked fourth in the state for a reason, and they're right around as good as anybody there is.
Absolutely, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Greg, thanks for the chat. Good to have you back after missing you for a couple weeks. A lot of fun conversations ahead as fall sports begin their tournaments, wrap up the season, high school basketball around the corner. We'll definitely look forward to Wednesdays with you on the program.
Always enjoy it, Matt. Thanks.
Don't forget, you can also catch Greg Fridays, part of Kentuckiana Football Friday's kickoff show. We preview all the Southern Indiana football games in a little more detail in the 6 o'clock hour here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's just about going to wrap us up for today. Don't forget that if you miss a show or a segment, there are plenty of ways to go back and catch us. We're available on SoundCloud. We're also available on Apple Podcast. On SoundCloud, you can download the app or just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search for us on Apple Podcast. If you would, type in the Hoosier Report. Leave us a positive rating and a good review. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a radio show and podcast about IU sports and, of course, Southern Indiana sports as well. But plenty of ways to listen. If you miss a segment or a full show, we've got you covered each day. Have a great day. I'll be back with you tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.